Welcome to Witch Talks, the series for spiritual seekers, witches, and enlightened souls. I'm Hannah the Suburban Witch, professional tarot reader, astrologer, and witch, and I hope you're ready to get up close and personal with your favourite witches. Hello, lovely people, and welcome back to another episode of the Witch Talks podcast with me, Hannah O'Neill, your host, for this lovely listening experience, which I'm sure you can tell is being punctuated by the beautiful crows in the background of my home. I'm not even going to edit them out. It just makes it a bit more witchy. I want to start today's episode off by reading out one of the more recent reviews of the podcast. And this one comes in from Aunt Carla via Apple Podcasts. Hey, Aunt Carla. Thank you for listening. And she gives it 5 stars over on Apple Podcasts. To tell you the total truth, we were chatting and she was saying that she couldn't sleep. And so I sent her specifically my mini-sode on A Witch's Guide to Insomnia. And she listened and immediately came back saying, oh my gosh, I loved it, and left me this beautiful review, which says, witches can be prone to insomnia, especially during full moon periods. And I loved Hannah's mundane and magical tips. Great angle. Thank you, Aunt Carla. All right, and now on to our Hannah Help Me segment of the podcast. And this one comes in from Steph, again, one of my Patreon supporters. And Steph asks, what are some great starting spells or rituals for a newbie witch? Well, Steph, there are a ton. Now, I've discussed on the podcast before that there are 2 different types of magic in a very general sense. There is folk magic and ceremonial magic. Some people call this low magic and high magic. I recommend steering clear of all ceremonial magic and high magic when starting out. That's like jumping in the deep end, and it's not for everyone. There is a lot of learning involved. But some really great ones, personally, I think things like tea magic, any form of kitchen witchery. So perhaps you know that someone in your family is feeling not well. Maybe it's you. And so you brew up a batch of healing soup. Now, this is literally just soup, whatever soup feels good to you. And if you want, you can go and research some of the correspondences of the herbs you want to use or may want to use. Or you can just use what you have on hand and what you normally put in. And when you're stirring, you can choose whether you stir clockwise, which is called diosol, and that's bringing something in. So that would be bringing in health, bringing in healing. Or you could stir anti-clockwise or widdershins. This is for sending things out. So you might be banishing sickness. Okay. So you want to think about that before you do it. And that is the crux of all witchcraft, really. It's thinking about it. It's doing things with intent. There's a reason for it, right? There's a reason we stir a certain way. It might seem a tiny little thing, but it is the crux of magic. So you're going to choose which way you want to stir. Are you bringing in health or are you banishing sickness? What are you doing? And that may tell you what sorts of herbs and things to use as well. Same when we're doing a tea spell. You're going to want to think again, are you bringing something in or are you sending something out? That's going to determine which way you stir your tea. Nettle tea is often used for stripping hexes, right? It's really quick. It's like my go-to. So it could be as simple as drinking a cup of nettle tea. If you sweeten it with sugar, honey, maple syrup, you may stir it anti-clockwise or widdershins and say, I don't know, make it up. Hex be gone, go away. Hex be gone, I'm clear today. Something like that. I just made that up, right? Whatever you want. It doesn't have to rhyme. I like it when it rhymes. Say something. I preference saying things 3 times. It just gives it a bit of oomph. And I like to breathe. If I'm doing my own tea, right, I might breathe over the cup like, hex be gone. It's like the breath has the intention behind it as well as the words have the intention behind it. We're speaking it into existence. As we also stir, you know, anti-clockwise because the hex is going, right? We're sending it away. That is a tiny bit of very easy tea magic. Again, the same can be said of a healing soup. Let's say we're going to do it diosol. We're bringing it towards us. We're doing it clockwise. You can say something like, health come to me, so mote it be. Simple as that. Whatever you want, right? I'm sure there are a ton of witchy spells and incantations you can use and find in books and on Google or whatever. But your main things are figuring out what you actually want to do and doing something that correlates with that. If you want to get a little bit more fancy, ground yourself before you do it. and raise some energy to give your spell some oomph before you actually do the thing. So I hope that gives you a little bit of inspiration to start getting into some spells and things. Personally, one of the first ones I did purposefully was actually a freezer spell. And it is such a great one to use. That is where you need someone to chill the fuck out. And you basically want, it's a light binding. It's a way of stopping them from furthering harm against you. Write their name on a piece of paper. You can put their date of birth if you know it. Fold it away from you. Throw it in the back of the freezer. Personally, I don't actually even fold it. I scrunch it up. Throw it in the back of the freezer and forget about it and literally watch the magic happen. These sorts of tiny spells, specifically that freezer one, the validation I got from seeing the results, that is why I continue doing witchcraft, right? We wouldn't continue it. We wouldn't do it if it didn't work. And I've seen so many times the effects of my spell work working that now I'm just like, oh my God, how does not everyone know about this? Spread the word. But I also, in the same vein, know it's not for everyone. Now, all that to say, if you're still like totally overwhelmed with spells and creating spells, you can see how easily it comes to me. I actually have a service because this is something I tend to just do for people. And I was doing quite a lot via DM and realizing that that was a lot of time and a lot of energy. And I was getting great feedback. And I had a few of my followers that said, seriously, I would pay for this. And I was like, you know what? That's a sign. That should actually make this a service. So then people know that I do it, but then also I get compensated for my time and my energy, and I can really put in the time and the energy for people when they ask. So if you're interested, if you've got something coming up that you have to ace a test, or maybe your landlord is going to put your rent up and you want to freeze it and stop that from happening, whatever it is, whatever your dilemma is, if you're stuck in terms of creating a spell, you don't know where to turn, you're new to this, whatever it is, hit me up. It's called the Quick Fix Spell Advice. It's in my shop under services, and I literally get back to you super quick. It says within 24 hours, depending on what time zone you're in and when I get the message, it can be a lot quicker than that too. And we will basically craft a spell together. I'll get as much information as I need from you. We'll make something perfect for exactly what you need. Alrighty, shall we get into today's episode, which is all about mediumship? This is a very hotly requested topic that you guys have emailed and messaged me about time and time again, and I'm finally doing it. Firstly, let me say I don't offer mediumship as a service, so there's that, because I do get a lot of people asking if I do that. It's just not what I want to do with my time. I can do it, but it's not something that I enjoy charging people for or enjoy sitting space in. That grief portal that it can become. So let's chat mediumship. Now, I ummed and ahed about where to start with this, and I thought one of the best ways to do this was maybe with what I used to think it was versus what I know it as now. I used to think it was very different to how I now experience it, and I think a lot of us get into this misconception of thinking, firstly, that mediumship is really hard and I could never ever do it, and then that it's only gifted people that do it. This is very common in terms of all psychic things, psychic, tarot, astrology. I could never do that. That's only gifted people or people born with a gift. Only other people can do that, not me. Let me start by saying anyone can learn to be a medium, just like anyone can learn how to knit or anyone can learn how to ride a bike, but you're not going to get good at it unless you practice it and put some time and effort into it, right? So it's a skill like any others. Some people are going to pick up a ball of yarn and some knitting needles and go, oh my God, this is so easy. Like, I'm just naturally talented at this. Oh, whoops, I made a cardigan. That would be people who are like a natural born medium. They just seem to be open to it more so than others. And then you have other people who sit down and learn stitch by stitch. They can still do a cardigan, but it just took a little bit more time and effort. That's probably where I'm at with my mediumship, right? It wasn't something that I was born doing, not that I remember anyway, but I have taught myself how to do it. And a big part of that was I was totally fine with the psychic stuff first. For some reason in my head, I was like, no, mediumship's totally different. It's not, guys. It's not. It's the same. It's the same thing. You use the same stuff to get the information for mediumship as you do to get information for any form of psychic work and psychic information. So if you can do a psychic reading on someone, you can do a mediumship reading. If you can do a tarot reading and when you're describing the card, you say, you know what, this feels heavier or this feels this or I'm hearing that, that's your psychic gifts. So your clairvoyance, clairaudience, all of those things coming out. And that's the same stuff we use for mediumship. So I used to think it was this big fancy thing. And it took a lot of unlearning that to realize that it was actually quite accessible and just another skill to learn. And I think there's a little bit of fear there as well. A lot of people come to all of this stuff, myself included, with fear. And even though I had been doing tarot and psychic work for a while, I still had that like, I don't know, am I going to invite a spirit into my midst accidentally? And I'm not going to lie, I have done that. But thankfully it happened at the times when I was very prepared to deal with it and it wasn't a big deal. And it was literally just, oh, I, you know, quested out too far or I wasn't specific enough, right? It taught me some boundaries with my psychic work. Thankfully, I've got a mentor to help me through that. So if you're looking to get into mediumship, I would recommend having someone there to help and guide you, okay? Now, one of the main differences, I guess, between just plain old psychic stuff and then mediumship is psychic stuff, you're kind of reading a person or an object, whereas mediumship, you're reading from a spirit. So I guess the source of the information is slightly different, but the method in which it comes through to you is the same, right? Still using those clairs, those psychic senses. So I'm going to jump straight into telling you about my very first attempt at mediumship. God, this was a few years ago now. I had joined a Facebook group that was for mediumship development. And I just kind of lingered and lurked for a while. And they used to do weekly mediumship development circles. And it was on Zoom. This was during COVID, right? So I was like, oh, sweet. Well, if at some point it works out that my kid's napping when that happens, then I'll join and do it. And I did. And I jumped on and I thought, I had a presumption of what it would be. I thought I would log on. They would go, oh my gosh, hi, you must be new here. And I would say, yes, I am. I don't know what I'm doing. And they'd say, oh my gosh, let us guide you. This is how to do it. And this is what we're going to do. Now you try. That's not what happened, my dear listener. That is not what happened. And this is part of what taught me when I run classes or when I run circles, how to run them in a way that doesn't make people feel the way I felt that day, because I did not feel supported. I felt thrown in the deep end and I was very confused. I think that's a nice way to start, right? So instead what happened was I log on. There's like 12 people on this Zoom call and it's that, you know, gallery view. You can see all the tiny little squares of all the people. And I didn't even know who was running it or what they looked like. But one random lady was like, all right, is that everyone? Okay. So 10 minutes sitting in the power and we'll go from there. I can't remember who we read for because this was years ago. Let's name our sitter Sharon. All right, Sharon. So this person's like, we're reading for Sharon today. Sharon gives a wave. One of the ladies in one of the little squares waves her hand. No one else is talking. And then lead lady is like, all right, so 10 minutes sitting in the power and we'll go from there. All right, bye. And then everyone turns off their screen. And I was like, okay. So I turned off my screen. I was like, what did she mean? What did she mean we're sitting in the power? Are we meditating or is this when we do the mediumship thing? So I pulled out a pen and paper and I just thought, all right, well, I guess I'll tune into that lady, Sharon, who I guess is who we're reading. So I sat there. And I thought, okay, well, I guess I'll just do what I think I'm supposed to do. So I pictured Sharon as I had seen her in that tiny little square on the screen. And I pictured her in my mind's eye. Now, don't come at me saying, I have aphantasia, I can't see things. I also have aphantasia. The way I teach it when I teach my psychic class, which is currently available, by the way, shameless plug, for the month of July only, you can purchase the replay to that class, the psychic class. It's over 3 hours of a psychic masterclass where we go into all of those clairaudience, clairvoyance, all of that. The clairs and the noirs, which you may have heard me talk about with Matt Oren on that episode. I think it was episode 21. But we get like really deep into it. So that is a wonderful class for you guys to take if you want to start dipping your toes in this sort of work. Anyway. So I visualized in the way that you would visualize something when you're reading a book. If I say to you, you've got your eyes wide open, and I say, imagine a green house on a pink hill, you can know what that looks like without physically visualizing it in your mind. That's how I visualize. So I'm visualizing this woman the way I'd seen her. So I recall that image to mind and then just sort of asked if there was someone standing around her, what would they look like? And immediately I saw this image of a man standing behind her. Now my eyes were open at this point, but I could visualize it in my brain. And I remember thinking, okay, I'm probably making this up. That's how most psychic stuff starts, until you get validation. And I thought, I'll just write down. I don't have to, maybe I won't have to give a reading today. I'll just write it down and just see what everyone else gets. So I wrote it down. So I'm like, he was tall-ish. He didn't look very old. It didn't look like a grandparent or anything like that. If I had to guess, maybe a brother or a cousin. So I wrote down brother / cousin. And as I'm visualizing him, I shit you not, I saw the image of lungs filling up with blood, like just a flash of that image. And then I saw it back to his face and him like stumbling into a room and vomiting blood all over himself. And it was very vivid. And I was not used to that. Definitely not like a death scene. That was not what I was expecting. I was expecting what I had seen on TV. Someone with an M, I'm getting an M. There's an M name here. They're a grandparent and it's a man and he just wants to say he loves you and he's sorry. That's what I was expecting. That is not what happened. I got this cousin, brother, skinny, lanky, tall dude death scene. So I wrote that down and then sat there for the other 8 minutes and was like, oh my God, I can't say that to someone. Ethically, I can't say that to someone. So I just sat quiet. One by one, the little screens came back on and the main lady said, all right, everyone, who wants to go first? One lady put her hand up and she starts saying, I had a grandmother here and this and this and this. And the sitter, Sharon, would say yes when something resonated. And if nothing was resonating, the person would just move on, would go to the next person. Anyway, the things that were resonating that these other people were reading on were nothing like what I got. I was like, oh my God, I'm totally wrong. This is totally wrong. And it went person to person. Everyone had their turn. And what I found out afterwards was the sitting in the power part, when everyone turned their screens off, you're supposed to just be meditating. And then you do the actual reading live when you're chatting with them and it's your turn. I just did it before, whatever. I was prepared. So it got to me and I just said, I'm so sorry. I am brand new. I have no idea what I'm doing, but this is what I got. And I'm just going to, it was a bit intense, so I'm just going to say the first bit and you just tell me if it does resonate and then I'll continue, and if it doesn't, then I won't. She was like, yep. And I was like, okay. So I saw a man. He was, you know, thin-ish and tall. He looked quite thin, quite tall, and he didn't seem very old, so I presume he would be a cousin or maybe a brother. And she burst into tears. And I was like, okay. No one else had gotten a brother or a cousin. They'd all gotten old people. And this lady's like, yep, yep. And I'm like, okay. And then I saw him walking into a room and the image of blood in his lungs. And she's nodding her head and crying. And emboldened by this, I continued and I just said, this is going to sound real. I didn't know if I should say this, but I saw him vomiting blood. I presume this is how he passed. And she's nodding and she said, no one has ever been able to connect with him before. That's my cousin. He had emphysema and he died. Oh, even now, it still makes me feel really. Usually you'll hear me say I get shivers when I say things, but this is not shiver feeling. This is like a cold, damp, underwater feeling that I get throughout my whole body. Like, oh, I don't like it. And this is why I don't offer mediumship as a service. And so she said, no one's ever been able to connect with him, but he passed about a year ago And I've been going from medium to medium and he's never come through. And she said, is there anything else? And I'm like, oh yeah, they usually give a message. And I said, oh, give me a second. And I just did the same thing. I visualized her sitting there and anyone I could see behind her. And he didn't, like, I didn't hear anything. He didn't say anything. All I saw was him put his hand on her shoulder. And then I saw that he had on his shoulder, like a sun tattooed. And so I just said that. And I said, I don't hear him saying anything, but he's got his hand on your shoulder and he's got a sun tattooed on him. And she was like, he had the tattoo of a sun with a crescent moon inside it on his shoulder. So again, I was like, holy shit. Like, you know, when you watch mediums on TV and you're like, oh, obviously they've, or on whatever, obviously they've researched them or they've Facebook searched them or they've Googled them beforehand. Like, I knew that I hadn't done that. I knew. So this was validating for me, right? I'm not going to prove it to anyone else because I'm proving it to myself right now. I knew I didn't know who this woman was from a bar of salt. She lived on the other side of the world. And I'd managed to get something so specific. I was like, oh, that's pretty crazy. And then she said that the day he died, he was homeless and an addict. And the day he died, he wandered into her room vomiting blood. And she saw him die that way. And so I was like, okay. And then I questioned myself because I was like, am I just getting a psychic reading off her and her memory, right? Perhaps. So whilst it was incredibly validating for my own abilities, it was also like, what was that mediumship? Did I really do it right? Oh, I don't know, right? And how do people know if they're a cousin or a brother or whoever? That, how do you know the relationship? So after that, like, we logged off and I felt pretty heavy, but also like excited weirdly, and wrote it all down in my little book of shadows to keep a record. And then I contacted my mentor, who's a psychic medium, and he does like standing up on stage and giving readings like that. And I just said, how do you know who they are? He said, oh, I asked my guides to place them in certain positions. So if they are, you know, a mother or father, they'll stand directly behind the person you're reading. If they're a brother or sister, they'll be to the side of them. Cousins are one step out from the side, and grandparents are one step behind where the parents would be. Friends kind of mingle around those outside peripheries as well. And I was like, oh, that's quite clever. If it's on the mother's side, then it's going to be like, if you're looking at the grandparent on the mother's side, they're going to stand behind the person, the sitter's left side, which relates to the mother, and for the father's side, behind on the right. And I was like, huh, that's very clever. And he goes, you just tell your guides what you want them to do when they're bringing you the information. So my mentor CB gave me this little archangel protection that he says before he starts any mediumship. You face east and say, place these archangels around me now. Raphael before me, Gabriel behind me, Michael on my right, Ariel on my left. And surround me in God's white light of protective love. So I used that for a little while, but it's a hit or miss for me. I'm not super angel focused. But there was one time, because I kept going to that circle, because I was like, well, I need to keep working on this now. So I kept going to that circle every week. And there was one time where I didn't really specify the person I was reading for. I just kind of said, does anyone want to communicate? That was what I put out there. And the spirit that I got and was describing to this person, they were like, no, I don't know who you're talking about. Going, oh, that's weird. Doesn't resonate. It's the first time I've had someone not resonate. And then I sat with it and was like, oh, actually, I don't think this is to do with this person. And it just sort of felt like they were almost like sitting next to me. And so I was like, oh, hey, CB, what do I do? What do I do? And I'm like, how do I specify? And he's like, you got to be more specific, right? We cast a small circle, small net when we're doing any form of mediumship or spirit work. And for a lingering spirit, this is what he says. Facing east again, Michael the protector, please cut any cords that are attached. Raphael, please heal this spirit. Gabriel, please watch over me and my family. Ariel, please take the spirit away. So it's just a simple one. You guys are witches, right? You can do whatever you want. You can make your own thing up. You can make sure you put on some protection oil before you start any mediumship. Again, I share these things because they're how I learned. Because I learned things the hard way, as you guys know. But since then, I've been able to do some really, really fascinating ones. And it's gotten a lot better in terms of like, oh, this is your uncle on your father's side, right? I can get that specificity. I kept trying for ages to get people's names. Like, oh, what name does you, what, and it never resonated. Like, what letter does it start with? Anything. That's not my skill. I can't get that that part of the information. And as CB kept reminding me, it's not important. You don't need it. As long as you have other identifiers, enough evidence to say who it is, then you're doing fine. I've had spirits come through and give messages, go and buy that yellow car. And I was like, oh, okay. I'll tell them, go and buy that yellow car. And they're like, oh my gosh, I was looking at this yellow car and I thought I shouldn't do it because of X, Y, and Z. But, you know, okay, I'll go and do it. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's so cool. And it isn't always death scenes. That was just apparently how my guides decided to start me off. But sometimes I do. I've had my clairaliens and my clairgustants come through. I've had all sorts of different ways I've received that information. But the key part for developing it for me was that instant validation from someone that, yes, yes, that resonates. That is what helps strengthen the connection when you're reading for them. These days, it's not something I haven't been attending those developmental circles, not for a while, and mainly just because I haven't had the time, but also because it's not something I see myself doing as a service. It's not something I super duper enjoyed. Whereas you guys have heard me when I do tarot readings and astrology, I light up. I just bounce out of my seat. I get so excited to do it. But knowing I have the skill there has helped me a lot. And it comes through every now and then. At my tarot class recently, we had someone who was saying, this is my in-person class here in Queensland. One of my students was saying that there was a spirit that her little boy could see and they didn't know who it was or if they were good or bad. And when I was talking to her, I just said, I'm hearing the words red hair. Regarding that spirit, I'm hearing the words red hair. And her best friend who passed had bright red hair. And so that gave her the clarity of who it was, right? So she wasn't so worried. It's not some crazy malevolent spirit. It is someone that she knows. It's a best friend who passed away. So it comes through when it needs to come through, but it's not something, as I said, that I'm doing as a service. And I don't think we need to monetize all of our skills, even in the spiritual space, even for me as a spiritual practitioner. I don't need to monetize that. It's a sometimes that comes in, and that's all I need it to be. Oh, I did want to say at the start as well, not all those who say they're psychic are mediums, because again, there is a bit of that leap there from whilst they're using the same skills. Just because you're psychic doesn't also mean you have those mediumship skills and you've made that jump across, because there is just a slight shift in how it works. It means you can do it, but it's just a slight shift mentally to get there. So whilst not all psychics are mediums, all mediums are psychic. So that's a good way to remember it. Now, please, if there are questions that you have that I haven't answered or that this story didn't help you with, please, please, please let me know. You can send an email to suburbanwitchery@gmail.com. You can send me a DM on Instagram or wherever. And if you want to submit a Hannah help me question, please do so. It's not just for my Patreon supporters. They just get dibs. So as I said earlier, the psychic class is available for July only, and then I'm going to be taking it off my shop. So jump on in. It's going to be, once you purchase it, you can watch it whenever. Like, it's not a timed offer. Once you've purchased it, you'll have access to it forever. It comes with a PDF download. It is 3 hours of video content. It is really, really fun. And I think you'll get a lot out of it. And it's not a class I'm going to be running again, at least not this year, maybe next year, but not right now. I got too much on my plate, guys, which, by the way, super exciting. I have made my first hire. I now have a virtual assistant. Yay. So she's going to be working 4 hours a week for me just to give me a little bit of a hand because I got so much on. You have no idea. I've actually decided to batch record all of the rest of the year's interview podcasts in the next 2 weeks. I know that sounds ridiculous and it really is. I don't know why I did it to myself. But once they're done and I can just put them aside and have them there waiting. But there are some amazing folks that we're going to be chatting to. I'm so excited to introduce you to them all. But until then, I hope you have a wonderful day wherever you are in the world today. I'll chat with you next time.